Chapter 23. It seemed to Ron that the first students who entered the lecture hall were a bit overwhelmed by its size. He watched them from his seat alongside the lectern that was sunken into the front of the hall. Dr. T. Browning Resthill had not yet arrived, nor had Ron found the time to meet with the chairman of the philosophy department, to whom he had been assigned for this semester of his graduate assistantship. When the professor did arrive, the room was more than half full. He came directly over to Ron and asked if he was the graduate assistant. Ron nodded. "I'm Browning Resthill. We'll need to speak after class about your duties. For today, I would appreciate it if you would collect and alphabetize the student entrance cards and take notes on my course requirements." Ron nodded again. "My name's Ron Tuck." "Good," said Resthill. The professor opened his bag on the table in front of Ron and removed the folder marked Introduction. He turned on his mic and activated the monitors that were mounted from different columns through the upper two-thirds of the lecture hall. He welcomed the class before all of them had actually arrived, introduced himself, and began to read from the notes assembled in front of him. 30 minutes later, when he looked up, told the students that the graduate assistant would now collect their admit cards. When Ron got up, Dr. Resthill continued to the class. "As you can see, this is a large class that will require a slightly different approach from most other learning situations that you've encountered. To begin with, there really won't be time for any questions by individual students. In the event that you have a question, you should take it up with the graduate assistant before or after class or during the office hours on which he is available. He will bring queries that require my attention to me, and I shall address them with the group before the start of the next day's lecture. The graduate assistant will also answer any questions regarding grades and assist any students that need extra help." Ron smiled at the group as he collected their cards. He wondered what they could possibly be thinking about and why no one objected to the fact that students were to be given no opportunity for direct contact with the course's professor. He decided that he didn't care and went back to his table to alphabetize the cards. Dr. Resthill called upon him almost immediately after he'd sat down and asked him to distribute copies of the course syllabus. Then the students started to leave. Ron returned the remaining copies of the syllabus to Resthill after laying several side copies for himself. "You'll need the rest of these for late arriving students and for those who misplaced their copies. Have you had a chance to finish alphabetizing the class cards yet?" "No," said Ron. "I haven't even begun." "Well, you're to make 2 copies of the list in these grade books before you return it to me with any appropriate additions or subtractions. Your duties will be to keep a strict account on attendance, correct any quizzes and tests, and check with me at regular intervals about any notable situations." "How am I supposed to answer students' questions?" "I'll give you copies of my lecture notes, which you can feel free to annotate, and that should about take care of it." Ron stared at the short, trim man in the steel-framed glasses and decided that he didn't like him, but that he would wait to see what was going to happen. "Is there anything else that you need from me?" "No, but I'd like the list and the cards at some point today." Ron said that he would leave him with Dr. Resthill's secretary before noontime. Then he bolted from the room. Coming back to this place had been a mistake. "Too many years as a schoolboy," he told himself. The student center was just beginning to fill up as the 10 a.m. class people arrived for their coffee. Ron wondered how he would ever be able to get up there to listen to Rest Hill by 8 a.m. on the three mornings of the class. Found an empty seat and counted the class cards. There were 187 of them. Holy shit, said Ron to the deck of cards. He began to sort them into piles and look around at the other tables. The people seemed young, and Ron had the feeling that he had been in the situation that was occurring at every table he saw. A few words of conversation or a gesture of body language seemed to be enough for him to see what it was and lose interest. He sorted the cards for almost an hour, and then he began to list the names. He went to get some coffee and, in the middle of the process, heard someone call out to him. Ron Tuck, I thought sure you'd be dead by now. Daniel Matthews slapped Ron on the shoulder. None of us is ever going to leave this place, you know. That's the secret of these colleges. The idea has always been to find reasons to keep us here forever. Do you have courses here? Said Ron. Graduate assistant, same as yourself. We share an office, you know. Ron stared at Daniel's immense leather shoulder bag and tan raincoat. He had never been quite sure about Daniel, but always felt slightly ill at ease around him. They had names and places in common, but Ron never had been sure how he felt about him. Robin hated him and continually referred to him as a pompous ass. Once she had grabbed his hand while he was in the midst of one of his monologues about the sublime nature of surrealism and sharply sunk her teeth into it so that he cried out with a yelp of pain and pushed her away with a startled and angry glare of surprise. Robin had laughed at him and ignored him when he demanded to know why she'd bit him. Later, she told Ron it was the first way that she'd thought of just to get him to shut up. Ron smiled as he thought about Robin. I've got to get this work done for Rest Hill before the end of the morning, and then I want to get out of here. I'll see you tonight for class, then. Yeah, said Ron. In class. Ron decided not to go to class that evening. He and his aunt ate shrimp cocktails for dinner and sat talking at her kitchen table. Do you think you'll be comfortable here? It's going to be fine, he told his Aunt Dottie. It's good to be around you. I want you to know that this is your house now and that I don't want you to have to walk around like you're on eggshells while you're here. I've always been afraid of breaking anything in your house, Aunt Dot. I'm just trying to be careful. It's a bunch of junk, Ronald. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Ron's eyes got very wide at the sound of what his aunt was saying. For his entire life, he heard her talk about how important her things were to her, how she had spent her life collecting her furs and jewels, and how she had painstakingly assembled her furniture. What do you mean? What can I do with it? The only place that I get dressed up to go is the clinic when they give me treatments. I'm too sick to entertain anyone, and I wouldn't want them around even if I were well. My stuff is filled with dust, and I haven't got the strength to take care of it. I wish that I didn't have the stuff to look at. I'll clean it for you, Aunt Dot. I don't want you cleaning my furniture. That's not why I asked you to move in here. Whatever you want. I want you to take a shrimp and cover it with cocktail sauce and follow it up with a long swallow of rum and coke. Then he laughed. Did you ever think that you'd feel that way about your furniture, Anton? I wish I had. Did you ever think that you could have gone to Europe for the price of the mirror in your bedroom? I never wanted to see Europe. Still don't. There's nothing there but a bunch of weak people and old crap. Ron laughed. I guess it wasn't worth the mirror then. What do you wish that you had done instead with the furniture? My youth. What would you want to do with it? Probably just the same. But I'd like the time. Just do it again. Even if nothing changed. One bit. Most people would like to change things. That's your mother's fantasy and her problem. It doesn't matter as much what you've done as it does to do it. That's pretty profound, Aunt Dot, said Ron, smiling as he polished off the last of his shrimp. I think I heard it on a talk show last night. Johnny Carson or something, she said, waving her hand back and forth to dismiss his smiling compliment. I can't finish this shrimp. Do you want the last one? Sure, said Ron. She watched him cover it in cocktail sauce and say, I'll skip the rum and coke, okay? She smiled and licked her lips as he ate it. Professor Resthill gave his first quiz at the end of the second week of class. When Ron graded the quizzes, he was shocked at the number of students who had failed, but even more surprised by the number of students who didn't seem to have any clue at all. He raised this concern with Dr. Resthill before class on Monday morning. Things go slowly at first, said Resthill. And a number of these students don't actually belong in college. And they'll find that out rather quickly. I wouldn't worry too much about student performance. Ron distributed the quizzes at the end of the class. Most of the students took their papers back without reaction. There were a few who stayed behind to talk to him, to ask if they could make appointments. Ron hadn't been to the graduate assistant's office yet, and he hadn't made any decisions about office hours. He decided to deal with as many problems as he could on the spot and make appointments for those in need of help later on. Most of the problems were very quickly solved, particularly as the time after the class grew longer. Actually, there was only one girl waiting for him to talk after he'd finished with the rest. Laura Cheater stood with her straw-like blonde hair covering most of her face until she felt Ron's eyes on her. Then she looked into his round face, brushed her hair away, and said, Do you have time to get a cup of coffee with me? Sure, said Ron, smiling. I've just got to go back to my office and clear some things up. We could get the coffee and bring it to your office. Ron gave her a small smile and said that he would go with her to get the coffee. That night, she drove to his mother's house to visit him. Ron introduced her to his aunt and then took her into his room that he had converted for his use. Laura had arrived carrying a painting that she had just completed and want Ron's opinion of. By then, the only things that Ron was aware of was that he could seduce the girl very easily. She had a body that reminded him very much of Robin's. They sat on his bed while she explained her painting, and he pretended to look at it while he stared at her breasts, the way that they swung back and forth under her t-shirt. They weren't as full as Robin's breasts, but they stood out very straight, and Ron kept reminding himself that even though they were very close, he was being very obvious that he didn't know Laura well enough to reach out and squeeze one of them. Then she asked him if it would be okay to light a joint that she'd brought with her. Ron smiled and nodded again. It was cheap pot, but before they'd finished smoking it, Laura was lying on her back on his bed and stroking his arm. Slowly, Ron reached down with the joint still in his hand and squeezed the breast he'd been studying. Then they began to kiss, and Ron realized that Laura had been hot for him all along. Her shirt was off, and the jeans were down around her knees, and she was now laying on her stomach. She had taken Ron's prick out of his pants and kissed it before saying she knew that he was going to make her feel very good. Ron stared down at her ass. The soft blonde hair from her pussy trailed up between her cheeks and gave them a softly lit glow. He told her that they'd have to be very quiet and slid his cock into her while she held her cheeks apart. She moaned in a deep, loud voice, and Ron froze. Within seconds, there was a knock on the room. Both pulled up their pants, and after Ron was sure that Laura had her shirt back on, he opened the door. Aunt Dottie wasn't smiling. "Would you and your friend like something to eat, Ron?" "Not at all, Aunt Dot. I'm going to go to bed pretty soon." "Okay, Aunt Dot." His aunt stood there like she was trying to think of what she wanted to say, but then she shook her head and said they'd talk in the morning. Laura was pulling her jeans back down by the time she returned to his bed. "It felt so good in there. Put it right back there, just the way you had it before." "This isn't a good place for us to be doing this," said Ron. "You're not going to finish fucking me?" "I don't feel comfortable with my aunt in the next room." "She said that she was going to bed, didn't she?" "I just don't think I can relax, is all." "I know what would make you relax, and me too." "You're right. But I just moved back in here a couple weeks ago. She really is pretty sick. I don't think that we'd better." Laura was clearly annoyed when she pulled her jeans back up. She told Ron that she wanted to leave her painting with him for a few days so that he would have time to live with it a little. Ron flinched at the sound of the way she put it. After she left, he masturbated immediately and let the calm after the orgasm help him to drift off to sleep. The next morning, his aunt told him that she'd made a mistake by asking him to come and live there. "I know that you're a man and that you have needs, but I don't think I can stay out of your way enough for you to sleep with girls in my apartment." "I didn't sleep with her," said Ron. "But you would have if I hadn't interrupted you." Ron put his head down and said that he'd find a place to live by the end of the week. Then he left for school. He didn't return until quite late that night and found his aunt sitting at the table, waiting for him. "I want to talk to you about this morning," she said. "I'm really sorry about last night," said Ron. "You've got a right to be comfortable in your own home, and I'm not going to take that away from you. I don't want you to leave. It's more important to me that you stay with me. I want you to fill this place up with life so that I won't feel like I'm just surrounded by my own dying. Just get them out of here before morning, that's all I ask. The ideas that my generation had about sex come from them being frightened of the way that it would look to other people if they admitted to doing it. I bought that line too, and I believed in it until it was too late for me to think any differently for myself. I won't let anything happen that upsets you anymore, Ron said tenderly. They hugged, and she said that she was very tired, needed to go to bed. Ron watched her move slowly off into her bedroom and realized that she'd been waiting there for him to come home for hours.